Our series deeper. Appreciate that story by Kevin. Man, what about the book of your life today? What's being written in your life by the way that you live out your faith? And specifically today, as we talk about growing deeper in Christ, deeper in relationship with His people, today we're talking about walking in the light. Walking in the light. We're going to be in 1 John chapter 1 in just a moment. But walking in the light. In the beginning, in Genesis chapter 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was void and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And it says that the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. But then in verse number 3, it says that God said, let there be what? Light. Let there be light. And it's amazing how light illuminates, doesn't it? How light penetrates the darkness. Light, what all does it do? Well, it exposes, doesn't it? Light exposes, light guides, light, think about it, light empowers, doesn't it? If it wasn't for sunlight, I mean, photosynthesis wouldn't happen, right? We had to go back to the fifth grade science days, right, and learn about photosynthesis. Well, it is sunlight that gives life to all of the vegetation on our earth. I mean, you think about light, it empowers, it gives life. I mean, we're trying to figure out as fast as we can how to catch and convert as much light as we can and turn it into energy so that we're not dependent upon, the oil that we get from all around the world, right? It's so light. And what John's going to say to us here in 1 John chapter 1 is that if we say that we are in fellowship with God, yet we're walking in darkness, then we're not telling the truth. Then the truth is not in us. In order to walk in fellowship with God and with His church, in right fellowship, we have to walk in the what? In the light. And that means being open and honest about the stuff in my life with other believers that I know and trust. There's no such thing as fellowship, deep walk with God and with His church until we expose some stuff with someone that we trust. Until we ask for prayer. We enlist that accountability partner. We get open and honest and real about the stuff we're walking through in our marriage and with our kids and in life. And so, walking in the light. Are we walking in the light this morning? 1 John chapter 1. Let's read together. 1 John chapter 1. We're going to start in verse number 3. And Scripture tells us this. It says, that which we have seen and heard, John says, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. How many of you know that joy is not found in isolation? It's found in relationship with God and other people, isn't it? Come on, church. Isn't that right? Some of you today may be struggling with anxiety, depression, deep despair and discouragement. And a lot of that may have to do with the fact that you're living an isolated life. And so it's only in concert with other believers, in fellowship with other Christians, that we find real joy in our walk with God. Now, verse number 5. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. What a statement about the very nature of God. We're going to get into that in just a moment. And if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Now listen to the gravity of these statements this morning. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. So there's no fellowship with other Christians unless we start getting open about our stuff, being real, not being fake, but being genuine with other believers, again, that we know and we trust. And he says, we have fellowship with one another if we walk in the light, and the blood of Jesus. So the cleansing from sin is dependent upon this, isn't it? And so it says here that the blood of his son cleanses us from all sin. And if we say we have no sin, so if we come to church, we put on the face, everything's great, never any problems in my life, never enlist any prayer, never asking for accountability, my marriage is just always perfect, and kids are always great, and never have struggles, never enlisting prayer or help from any other believers. If we say we have no sins or struggles, then what does it say here? We deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Hey, for a country boy, one thing you better not call me is a liar. Come on, somebody. You know what I'm talking about? Well, John just lays it out right here, man, and he just gets right up in our nose, like right up in our face. He's like, dude, you just got to listen. And it's with grace and respect. But he says, listen, you got to hear this. If you just kind of play the game and never get open or honest with someone else about your stuff, then you're lying. You're lying. Truth is not in you. Man, that's a powerful statement, especially for men in here today. Man, don't call me a liar. Well, when God calls you a liar, you know, it doesn't matter how you feel about it. You got to own it. And so he says, if we say we have no sin, then we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So 1 John 1:9, a verse that we often quote about confession of sin, the context here is not just simply private confession, but also public acknowledgement with other believers, with another brother in Christ, another sister in Christ, or another couple, where we can pray for each other and encourage each other. And so if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just, forgive us, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we say we have not sinned, there's that statement again, we make God a liar, because God says all have sinned, fall short of the glory of God, and his word is not in us. Lord Jesus, today we ask, speak to our hearts, Lord. Lord, have your way in our hearts and in our lives. Lord Jesus, we ask today that you would speak. Father, that we would hear from you, that we would hear from your Spirit. And Father, that we would respond in obedient faith. And Jesus, it's in your name we pray all these things. Amen and amen. Fellowship, walking in the light. Are we walking in the light or are we walking in darkness and just trying to hide our stuff? The context of 1 John chapter 1 is fellowship, isn't it? And when we think about fellowship, we think about eating fried chicken. How many of you like a good dinner on the grounds? Come on, somebody. You know what I'm talking about? You know, good homecoming meal. We're going to throw out fried chicken and mashed taters, man, and some bread, some rolls, man. We're going to have some banana pudding. Come on, how many of you like banana pudding up in here? Can I get a witness on that today? Yeah, so we throw that out, and man, we're going to eat, and we're going to have a good time. We're going to smile, and that's a part of fellowship. But fellowship's a whole lot deeper than that, isn't it? It's a whole lot deeper than that. In fact, the word in the original language is the word koinonia in the Greek. It speaks of doing life together. It speaks of spiritually rich relationships. It's more than just being acquainted with one another on a Sunday morning or in some Sunday morning gathering. It's doing life together. And that word koinonia, there are four basic ideas behind that word koinonia. And I want to give those to you quickly this morning. And then we're going to talk about three non-negotiables for fellowship. What it looks like to walk in the light. Okay? First of all, first idea behind koinonia is partnership. Partnership. And so that word was used in New Testament days at certain times to talk about business partnerships. And so that's interesting. Business partnerships have defined goals, you know, specific contractual terms, strategic plans, and a partnership is focused on making a profit, isn't it? On making a profit. Well, church, listen to me. We're here to profit. We're here to profit for God. And what's the profit? It's not money. It's souls, isn't it? It's lives. That's why we give. That's why we serve. That's why we share Christ. It's because we want to see folks saved and we want to grow in our faith as well. And so partnership. And so the church is, if there's anywhere that should be organized and structured and strategic for the cause of God, it's His church. Isn't that right? You think about how much effort and focus you put in maybe to your business or your work or, you know, especially soldiers in the room and the missions that you carry out. How much more does God's church deserve strategic, prayed out, planned out, focused effort? And so partnership. Secondly, that word koinonia also means or speaks of participation. Uh-oh. Fellowship is, and church is not, a spectator sport. This is not meant to be a spectator sport. You're not all on the bench this morning watching everybody else play. Like, we're all called to be in the game. And being in the game means when we come together here, this is kind of like practice, isn't it? We get the plans from God. We hear His word. We get the plays from Him. But life, the game, if you will, is life, isn't it? We're called to go outside of here and participate in the gospel. And that's what Paul talks about in Philippians chapter 1 about the church at Philippi. He says, I thank God that you were participants in this. And so let me ask you, are you giving? Are you serving? Are you praying? Are you in the word? Are you sharing Christ? Not out of some kind of checkbox deal or obligation, but out of a love, desire, and a heart of worship to Christ Himself. And so God calls us to participate. Again, fellowship here. This is a noun and a verb. And it's a command of God for us to be in this kind of relationship. So it speaks of partnership. It speaks of participation. Number three, it speaks of family. Carries the idea of family. You heard me this morning and you hear me every time I baptize. As I baptized John David this morning, I said, I baptize you as my little brother. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are all blood related. Because we have all been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. And the scripture says to those who trust in Him, we've been given the right to be called children of God. We are the family of God, sons and daughters of God. And so koinonia, fellowship here as we read this, it means family. So we're family, man. We're family. We're to love each other in that way, help each other in that way, eat together, do life together, pray for one another, be open and honest about struggles and stuff we walk through. Again, walking in the light. And so family, but then fourth and lastly, in the New Testament, the word koinonia is actually used most often, you listening, to speak of generosity. That's interesting. It's most often used in the New Testament to talk about believers helping other believers in their times of financial need. And so, by the way, the benevolent ministry of the church first starts with our own people, doesn't it? And yes, God has called us to go out and build Habitat houses and bless our school system and use that as a bridge to the gospel and love on our community. But also within the body, within your family group, within, you know, your ministry groups as you serve together, as these needs come up, we should be open and honest with each other. Okay, we should be open and honest with each other when we have needs, right? Not taking advantage of the church or the people therein just to get something from others. But we are called to be open and honest with each other. And there are those within the body. Listen closely. Some of you here this morning that are affluent, you're wealthy. And there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, the Bible says that there were many great men of God, especially in the Old Testament, who were wealthy men. The Apostle Paul in the New Testament. He said, man, I've known what it's like to have a lot, and I know what it's like to have a little. And so there were times in the Apostle Paul's life where he was well-to-do. There's nothing wrong with having stuff. You've heard me say this before. You can probably quote it. But there's something wrong when your stuff has you. Something wrong when your stuff has you. And God puts the body together intentionally for a purpose. Those of you here who God has blessed financially, God's placed you within this body, not necessarily so you pay everybody's bills. We're not talking about communism today or some kind of commune or cult. But we are talking about when needs arise from time to time within your family group, within the body of Christ that you hear about. Well, be generous, right? God's called us to help others. And so what a beautiful picture. It's a whole lot more than just attending church, isn't it? Come on, church. Are you with me today? It's a whole lot more than just showing up to a service on Sunday. And so are you walking in fellowship with other believers? Are you walking in the light? Well, what does walking in the light look like? We see in 1 John chapter 1 what I call three non-negotiables for fellowship, true fellowship. Commands of God, things we're called to do as we walk with Him. And so what does walking in the light look like? What does real fellowship look like? First of all, it's predicated on, you listening, an encounter with Jesus, isn't it? It's predicated on, first of all, an encounter with Jesus. And John here, just like last week with the Apostle Paul talking about knowing Jesus, John here says what we have, seen and heard. What we have seen and what we have heard, we are proclaiming to you. So he's talking about personal first-hand experience. And so do you have that personal first-hand knowledge of Jesus? It's like a smartphone. How many of you got a smartphone this morning? Hold it up for me. I would dare say everybody in the room. Come on now, hold it up. Fess up in Jesus' name. There it is. Smartphones, right? That does not mean you're smart. Are y'all listening this morning? I have to be reminded of that. You know, with a smartphone now, everybody knows everything. Have you figured that out? Like everybody knows everything, or at least they think they do. And, you know, with a smartphone in your hand, there's so many things that we can know immediately, at least the facts about something. For example, if someone asked you, well, tell me about the events of September 11th, 2001. Well, man, you could get out your iPhone, hit that home button, say, hey, Siri, tell me about September 11th, 2001. And immediately your phone would populate all this stuff and begin to say, hey, well, you know, terrorists hijacked planes and flew into the World Trade Center towers and flew into the Pentagon, and another one was attempting to fly into, we think, maybe the White House or fly into our congressional buildings or something. And it would begin to speak these things and talk about the thousands of people who lost their lives that day. And, I mean, you can get that information right in your hand, can't you? But if you ask a New York City firefighter or police officer who was on duty that day, would you get a much more passionate story than that? Absolutely. Soldiers in the room, if I ask you that, I probably get a totally different response. It wouldn't just be fact. This is important. Stay with me. I wouldn't just get the facts of the day. What I would get from you is passion, stories about comrades and others that you fought with, events and experiences and things that you saw and experienced. I mean, it would be a much different story, wouldn't it? Well, friends, listen to me. The kind of knowledge that John's talking about here with Jesus is that kind of knowledge, not push the home button, give me some facts kind of knowledge. There's a whole lot of people that can rattle off the facts about Jesus, but don't have a passionate, intimate relationship with Him where they can speak of a direct encounter with Christ, an encounter with Him. He talks here, first of all, about personal experience. Again, it's personal experience. He says that it is our fellowship, this is good, our fellowship with Jesus that informs our fellowship with the body. The reason that some have no heart for the church is because they're not in fellowship with Christ. And that's what he's getting at here. It's that love relationship with Jesus that inspires and motivates that desire to be in fellowship with the body of Christ. And so when I have no desire or very little desire to be in fellowship with the church, in real relationship with other Christians, in a local church, a local gathering of believers, it's because I'm not walking, really walking with or in fellowship with Jesus. And so it is that love for Jesus. The love of God's been poured out in our heart. It's Christ that knits our hearts together. Isn't that right, church? It's Christ that knits our heart together. And so personal experience, but then he also talks about a joyous expression. And he says, I'm writing these things so that our joy, we are writing these things so our joy will be complete. So John's saying my joy won't be complete unless I'm doing what God's called me to do. And I'm serving in the way God's called me to serve. Church, listen, we gather for God and for others. Isn't that right? Let me say that again. Why do we gather? We gather for God, number one, and others, number two. That means you and I, that we are number three in that list. We don't gather because the church sings the songs I like, or they have all the programs that fit all my needs, or they make all the decisions that I agree with. No, we gather because Jesus is Lord and because I'm here to serve somebody else. Are you listening? And that's where joy is found. And so fellowship, it starts with this encounter with Jesus. Okay? Secondly, let's keep moving. Not only is it predicated on a personal encounter with Jesus, but fellowship, true fellowship, it includes an environment of confession. Confession. Walking in the light. Well, that means confessing, doesn't it? That means exposing some stuff. Letting the light of the gospel and the light of Jesus illuminate some stuff. That's what walking in the light means. And it's interesting that he goes on to tell us here in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins with one another, then he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so confession, that's a part of our walk with God. James chapter 5, verse 16 says, confess your sins to one another. Confess your sins to one another. Pray for one another so that you may be healed. This is good. Listen to me. Some of you here today are one confessional prayer away, one confessional prayer to another brother or sister in Christ away from victory over that sin, issue, struggle, anxiety, fear, whatever it is in your life. You're one prayer away. How do you know that? Because God's word tells me that. It's amazing to me. Now, I'm going to pick on some of you for a minute. And if this is you, just put the shirt on. Just own it with the preacher today. It's amazing to me how many people will come to Living Hope on a Sunday morning, and then I reach out to them on the phone, or we reach out to them, and listen, the FBI can't even find them. I can't get you. Listen, I can't get some people to call me back. I can't even get you to text me back, some of you. Why is that? And then the next Sunday, you'll come right in the door and smile. Well, hey, Pastor Derek, hey, I called you this week. Oh, yeah, sorry about that. Sorry I missed you. Another brother in Christ, your family group leader, somebody here, reach out to you, talk to you out in the community. And it's, right? Fake news. How many believe there's fake news in our world right now? Come on, fake news. I was reading an article this past week that Barna did a survey of Americans and said, what news sources do you trust? 32% of adults surveyed said, I don't trust any. I trust my own personal instincts. Wow. 32%. So a third of adults that were surveyed in our country said, hey, I don't trust any news source. I trust my own instincts. 27% said, I don't trust any news source. I trust family members, friends, or very close peers. So 60% of our country doesn't believe any of the news. Can I get a witness today? Right? Fake news, right? President Trump, right? I don't think he coined the phrase, but he sure did use it. Sure does use it a lot, right? It's just fake news, all this fake news, especially on social media. Friends, hey, are you listening? We pick on fake news in our society, but some of the most fake news that I read or see every week are the people who walk in. The people who walk in and out of this door. Listen to me. Same is true in our life at times. Sometimes I'll put on the face, and I'm not being open and honest with other brothers in Christ about struggles in my marriage or my life or our kids or our, you know, our stuff. We have struggles too. Did you know that? We have struggles too. We have sins and struggles and things that we deal with in our home. We need Jesus. Can I get an amen on that? Anybody else need Jesus today? Need some Jesus? I need him. There's so much fake news. Man, it breaks my heart every time couples come in and out of our doors, and man, will plug in for a little while. Next thing I know, on Facebook, their marriage is falling apart, and I see pictures of them with two other people. Never said anything to anybody. Never got real about their stuff. Just walked in, came to church consistently, but never got in fellowship with God and with other believers. We're talking about growing deeper in this series, right? We're swimming in the deep end of the pool. You got to listen today. That is where the strength and the joy and the power of the Christian life comes from. Jesus Christ and his church. That's what John's saying here. We need one another. We need one another. So we see this environment of confession, and just he calls us to that. I mean, look what he says here. He says, if we say we have no sin, man, we deceive ourselves. The truth's not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He talks here about the nature of God. He says, this is the message that we have heard from God. God is light. Now, wouldn't you think that when he says here, this is the message we've heard from God, he would say, like, something about the cross and the resurrection of Jesus? Is it not interesting to anyone else this morning that he says, here's the message, God is light? Well, why did he do that? He went to theology. He went right to the very nature of God. The reason that, this is good, the reason that some have a low commitment to the fellowship of the body is because they have a low view of who God is. When I understand that God is holy and all-powerful and all-knowing and righteous and just, but also gracious and merciful and kind, when I have the right view of God, that's what informs my commitment to the fellowship of the body. So he talks about the very nature of God here, but he also talks about the necessity of confession. Confession is essential if I'm going to grow in Christ. It doesn't mean that everybody in this room this morning, you're going to air all your dirty laundry right here on the stage in front of everybody. That's not what he means here by confession within the body of Christ. What it does mean, are you listening, that in your family group, couples, men, women, and men's and women's groups, that in your family group, that you'll be open about struggles you're walking through and enlist prayer and encouragement from them. It means, men, that you'll find another man or two that you trust, that you can say, hey, listen, man, help me keep my mind pure. Help me with my marriage. Man, I want you to ask me how my marriage is doing. You know, help me be a witness for Christ. Man, you know, hey, ask me if I'm spending time in God's Word and in prayer. If it really matters to us, then we're going to enlist accountability. Ladies with ladies. Ladies doing the same thing. And so there's this necessity of confession. Listen, we pick on our Catholic brothers and sisters, don't we? You talk about folks who have confession as a part of their religious experience. Hey, I'm going to go and confess. The good news today is you don't have to confess to a priest. We've got the great high priest named Jesus. Come on, somebody. Isn't that right? Who's in heaven, who intercedes for us. So it's not that I'm just by rote going to some pastor or priest, just confessing my stuff and then going and doing it again. Right? No, what I'm doing is I'm enlisting, what he's calling us to here is enlisting another accountability partner that will pray for me and then hold me accountable. That I'll have coffee with every week or 2 weeks. We'll go grab lunch together or breakfast early before I go to work. And we're talking about, hey, here's what's going on in my life. Hold me accountable to these things. This is what God's called me to. This is a life he's calling me to live. And so enlisting that kind of accountability, relationship, fellowship. It's communing together as the body of Christ. And so, the necessity of confession. Are you walking in the light? Listen, the church needs to be a safe place, doesn't it? Come on, church. A place where all are loved and are welcomed. Where you can come just as you are, but none of us want to stay the way we are. That's the way it should be. And, you know, may God forbid that any church would be a place where people's sins, struggles, and hardships are not welcomed, prayed over and encouraged to go from there, as Jesus said with the adulterous woman, we'll go now go and sin no more. And how do we help you with that, right? So that's what we're called to. And so, man, there's this encounter with Jesus when it comes to fellowship. Man, there's this environment of confession. But also, we see, lastly here, an encouragement of character. And I'm going to ask Taji to come now, our pianist, to come and just begin to play for us. A band is going to come in just a moment. But before we move into our time of invitation, he talks here about character and integrity. And he says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. He says, we even make God a liar. And so he's talking here about two things. Let me give you these, and then we're almost done this morning. Humility and honesty. Humility, what's he talking about? Humility and honesty. What is integrity? Integrity, holiness. It speaks of purity of character, purity of heart and mind, words and actions. It's not sinlessness. It's being quick to admit my sinfulness. See that? That's what integrity is. Because the truth is, as he says here, that all of us have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. We all need Jesus. I was reading another article from Forbes magazine. It was actually online, and they did a survey, and this was convicting to me. Forbes magazine did a survey right before COVID asking about the ethical, what were the most ethical and honest professions? In other words, as Americans, what do you see as those who have the highest ethical, moral standards, the highest standards of honesty and integrity in their professions? What do you think was number one? What group? Medical professionals. Isn't that interesting? Nurses, doctors, even pharmacists, which I thought was interesting in our society, but nurses, doctors, and pharmacists were listed in the top group. Medical professionals were considered in the highest ethical standards. Right after that, teachers. Come on, teachers. I mean, in our society. I was surprised because policemen and firefighters are right after that. So in spite of what we see for our first responders in the room, policemen and firefighters in the room, what we see out in society, don't believe what you see on the media and all that stuff, some of the stuff, the protests, the things that are promoted. We thank God for our policemen and firefighters, man, who serve, don't we? Come on, church. It's interesting that you're right there at the top. You know who was down towards the bottom? Yeah, now you're going to pick on the preacher today, right? Appreciate it. Clergy. There was only like one third of people who said, like, you know, we trust preachers. And man, that was convicting to me, right? So I had to kind of own that. I mean, I know it's much broader than me, but you understand what I'm saying. I was like, man, that's convicting. It speaks to, in our society, just this lack of trust in institutions and those who lead institutions. But also, you know what it says to me? Now, church, listen to me. And this is where we all got to own it. In other words, what our society today says is we just don't believe the church values integrity anymore. Church doesn't value integrity. Why? Because we walk in and out of these doors and our marriages fall apart and just like everybody else. And our, you know, the way we act is the same as everybody else. That's true in my life at times. We act just like the rest of the world. And man, we're not showing the love of Christ to others as we present the gospel and we try to minister. It's just convicting, isn't it? When we think about character and we think about holiness, it's kind of like having company at your house. Whenever company's going to come over, you're going to have guests to your house. Clean up, don't you? You're going to go around, you're going to clean up, pick up. You're going to do like my children and throw all of it in the closet. Come on, you know, just pitch it all in the closet. Well, walking in holiness and integrity is like being prepared for company. It's you can come in, look around. You can even open up the closets if you want to. I mean, you know, we've cleaned up and we've prepared for you to come. Today, are we walking in the light? Some of you, you're one prayer away, or I would add to that, one relationship away from your marriage being restored and rekindled. Men in the room, listen to me. Some of you are just one relationship away, just one other brother in Christ away from overcoming drugs, alcohol, pornography. Just one relationship away from being a better dad and a better husband. Being more confident in your witness out in this community. Ladies, you're one relationship away. One relationship away. Don't let shame or fear or worry or all that stuff keep you from experiencing the fullness of what fellowship with Jesus and His church is all about. That's where you get set free. Set free. That's where the joy comes. That's where the power comes. It's not in just walking in these doors week after week, month after month, and going home and about your life, and nothing ever changes.